All right, now if you ain't been friendly in that length of time, ain't no hope for you. You're just a natural born snob. There are people like that, just natural born snob. You have to fight to overcome it. All right, let's everybody give tonight and honor the Lord and do what we're supposed to, okay? It's a great time of the year. I just feel excitement. The kids, I went back there and they're all back there and I said, youth rally's going to be fun. They went, yeah! They all went crazy. And they love it. They love it. I'm so glad that we get to be a part of a church where we have youth rally. They never forget. Those kids will never forget what they see and hear at youth rally. Never will. The rest of their life, especially if they get saved. So let's honor the Lord tonight and give and do what's right and He'll bless you. And if you didn't get your money in Sunday, let's do that tonight. Thank God for some gifts we had Sunday from outside, or we'd have been in hurting bad, come from out of state even. So let's everybody give tonight like you get caught up. And the Lord bless you for it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray now that you'd bless this offering tonight. Let it be just what you want it to be. We love you. God, move in our hearts. Bless the kids. Lord, as we get ready for the youth rally, Lord, I do pray. Oh, God, bless us, Lord, tonight. Open the Word of God in our hearts for it, God. And speak to us, Lord, and help us to do your will. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Play one more verse of that right quick, Mr. Desmond, while they finish. Give them a bye. Bibles open, everybody, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27, all the way over there to the end of the, almost to the end of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27 tonight, and look, we're going to do a little Bible study on this story, this great story. Something wrong with my mic here, bro. 1, 2, there we go, thank you. Acts chapter 27, and tonight, I want us to do a Bible study on this chapter. Not the whole chapter, but this chapter. I want to read it first, because every story in the Bible is in there for our learning and our benefit. And as the old preacher said, everything in the Bible ain't to me, but everything in the Bible is for me. That's a great truth to learn how to live by. Everything in the Bible is not to you. You better thank God it ain't. But everything in the Bible is for you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Everything in the Bible is not to us. If it was, we'd still have to be sacrificing animals and everything else. That was to Old Testament Jews. And they'll reinstate it in the tribulation. But everything in the Bible is for us, for our learning, for our admonition, for our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this story is for us and it'll help us. Acts chapter 27, and they're talking about sailing on a ship. And on this ship, I guess it was that Carnival cruise line they was on. I don't know. But man, them things been having some bad luck, ain't they? Have you seen on the news, every time you turn around, one of them Carnival cruise ships has sprung a leak or something. Somebody fell off of them or run into a rocks or something. But look here at what happened here as they were on this ship in Acts chapter 27, verse 14. Let's begin reading with verse 14. But not long, verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened their thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I've heard that pronounced a bunch of different ways. That's the way I think it is. It's a great wind, a storm, like a hurricane. You're out on this boat, and a hurricane comes. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now, there's the first time in the Bible about a woman driver. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. What happened, preacher? She hit the rocks. Insurance went up. I didn't write the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. Look at verse 16. It's talking about the ship. Let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is, she rear-ended somebody, which is called Clauda, we had much work, bondo, new bumpers and everything to come by the boat. Paint job, sanding, body shop got rich. Which, when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. Now stop there just a second. They're working on this boat, and they're afraid they're going to fall in quicksand. I don't think that I've ever really seen quicksand. Has anybody in here ever seen quicksand? Anybody? In real life? Where do they have that stuff at? Isn't that in other countries, I reckon. I mean, is it around here? Is it? Is it really? You've seen them shows, you know, where they fall in there and boy, they're screaming and hollering. They're just going down real slow. That's an awful, awful, awful way to go, man. Like that sinkhole down there in Florida. That guy's sitting there golfing, just opened up and down he went. Listen, somebody, you got bad luck when you're out on the golf course and a hole opens up and swallows you up. It just ain't your day. Anyway, so there's quicksand. Verse 18. And we, being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Remember that. When you're out on a boat and it's about ready to go under, you throw everything overboard that you don't really need. The Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's what that's talking about. You see how that'll preach? Isn't the Bible an amazing book? It's talking about them on a ship, but that'll preach, brother. That'll preach. The ship was going down, so I had to throw out a bunch of junk. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, boy, I've been there. Man, I've been there. Man, I have seen many days when there was neither sun nor star, spiritually speaking. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You ever had that? You ever been like that? Where you think there's no way out. I'm never going to make it. I'll never get through this. Boy, that's the way they felt. You can get like that. You can get to where you think, man, I'm never going to make it through this. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth. There's your epistles, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. When you get in trouble, read them Pauline epistles. He still stepped forward in the midst of that trouble and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. This ship's had it. It's total loss. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Now there is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a man tell me, I've been a deacon 20 years. And he said, I never knew that, preacher. How do you know? Well, sometimes the phrase, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, is a reference. Even in the Old Testament, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how you know that? Look at it. Verse 23. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That ain't a normal angel. We don't serve normal angels. We don't belong to normal angels. He belonged to that angel, whose I am and whose I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, "This is a done deal, Paul. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to come out over there." That's a great thing to know. Everything going to be all right. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, I'm going to read some more, so hold your finger there. You know what God was saying? God was saying, "Look, Paul, the ship's going up, going this way, going that way, going that way." But he said, "I've done saved you and given everybody on there. There ain't nobody going to die." You know why? Because God sees the end from the beginning. Now, if we would trust the Lord, He's already seen the end. I'll give you an illustration. The other night, there was a ball game that I wanted to watch. And it was the Miami Heat. They've got the second longest winning streak in NBA history. And it's up to 26 or 7 now. And they was playing somebody. I don't remember who it was, but I was just wondering. I wonder if they're going to keep that winning streak going. Well, the game was like on Tuesday or something like that. Or one day last week or something. And I was busy and I didn't get to see it. But it come on late, like 11 o'clock at night on the NBA channel. And I said, "Man, I want to watch that." So I was busy and I was working and I was flipping it back and forth. I sort of keep up with it and do something else, keep up with it and do something else. And they was behind big time in that game. And everybody in there thought that they was going to lose. Them people, they was sort of screaming and hollering. Cleveland Cavaliers, that's what it was. They was like 20-something points behind. All hope that they should be saved was taken away. That's right, buddy. I'm telling you, they was like, "This thing, we're done. There goes our winning streak." And you know, I was watching that game, and there's people going, "Go, go, 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 go." And they was running down. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, "You idiots, you're wasting you. You're running up and down that floor for nothing. This game is done over. I don't know who wins." It was a replay. See, it was, and it felt like, I was sitting there thinking, that's the way the Lord looks at this thing. The Lord looks at this like it's already happened. He's already out in the future and seen the end of the game, brother. He's done seen us in heaven. I was sitting there thinking, them poor dumb people screaming their head off, and I don't know who's going to win. Why are you so worked up? Coaches screaming, people putting bets. What are you talking about? Some betting, man. You could do it if you was in heaven ahead of time, couldn't you? You know everything, how everything's going to work out. That guy won the lottery. Did you see that guy won the lottery? Won $300 million this week. And he worked at a sub shop and bought the winning ticket in the liquor store. Now, that ain't right. But he won it. And he's actually going to get $150 million. Government got the other half, I reckon, or whoever gets it. I was sitting there thinking, this thing is over. It's over. It's over. Don't sweat, people. Just do. And that's the way the Lord looks at it. This thing's over, people. We're already over on the other side shouting, having a time with our loved ones in the sight of God. So don't sweat it. Just do your best. Work hard because God sees him from the beginning. Okay, let me read a little bit more. And look at verse number 25. He said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God." Verse 26. "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." We're going to have a little trouble here. "But when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms." Now, that means they blowed this horn, and somehow or another they could figure out how long it took for that sound to get over there and bounce back and hear the echo, and they could tell how far that was away. Fathom. Can anybody in here tell us how long a fathom is?
About 7 feet.
7? I was thinking, I can't fathom that. What does that mean? 7 feet. So it was 20 fathoms. 140 feet. That's getting close, man, with the ship. 140 feet. That's just from here to the sign out there. All right. And they gone a little further and found it again and found it 15 fathoms. That's really getting close. "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks," it's about ready to hit rocks, "they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Now that'll preach, won't it? They wished for the day. Have you ever been down and out and everything and you just wished for the day? Hallelujah. Amen. "And the shipmen as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. He's a little free will in him there. Verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some meat, saying, this day is the 14th day if you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Man, they fasted for 2 weeks. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. I heard a preacher today said, when a woman sees a deer, she says, Bambi! And the husband sees deer, he says, Bam! He says, Bam and Bambi. But he said, there ain't a hair of your head going to fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all good cheer, and they took courage. Good cheer, and they also took some meat. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop right there tonight. And this little chapter tells us how we ought to behave ourselves when we're having trouble. Now, if you've not had trouble, you're going to have trouble. The Bible said man's born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. So if your day hasn't come yet, it's coming. And the reason a lot of times older people are more conservative and young people are more wild is because young people haven't even had any trouble. When they go through some hard times, they'll wisen up a little bit. These young people get on TV and they get on these stupid shows that people put on there and they try to ride a skateboard down a rail like that right there. And them old boys getting out there and they try to jump over something and they hit and then they jump up and they all laugh with stupid stuff. When they're about 40, that's going to come back to them. They ain't going to be able to walk straight. And they don't realize the trouble. They don't realize trouble. Now, if you're older, you realize that trouble comes. Every few years, trouble is going to hit your life. It'll be physical. It'll be financial. It'll be domestic. You'll have marriage trouble, or you'll have physical trouble, or you'll have some kind of trouble ever so many years in your life, and there are no exceptions. If you know somebody that's over 45 and never have no trouble, I'd like to shake their hand. You tell me who it is. It just don't happen. Now, some people get through pretty easy, and some people it just seems like constantly having problems. But sometimes they're of our own making. We bring a lot of trouble on ourselves. But no matter how right you live, you're going to have trouble in your life. Now the thing here is, what do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when trouble comes? There's a little pattern to follow when trouble comes. A death in the family. You know, I've now lost a sister, and I lost my mom two years ago this past Monday, and I lost my dad. And I remember thinking, boy, I wonder what it'll feel like when somebody in my family dies. I remember growing up and thinking, I just can't imagine what it would feel like. Well, I know now. I know now. It's not fun. It's not easy. You never lost your dad. You still got your daddy, and you still got your mama. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, brace yourself, because that day's coming. You're going to get that phone call. I know that. Don't shut up, preacher. Don't be quiet. You might as well face reality. I used to pray, Lord, get me ready. Get me ready. Because I know that day's coming. When mom was real sick, get me ready. And when it came, I was ready. I mean, you never were completely ready, but you know what I mean. As ready as I could be. But it still hurts. And it's still painful. And boy, I tell you, when all trouble breaks out, and you get fired from your job, or get that, if you've got this big house payment and you don't know how you're going to make it, or maybe you've got a kid that just goes crazy and it rebels and gets locked up in jail or gets drunk, gets in trouble, and then you don't even want to tell your Christian friends because you're embarrassed, because you think they might judge you or the kid or something. Listen, you can go through some trouble. Or I hear it all the time. People say, I heard one this week about this boy and his wife, and they live near me. And somebody was asking me about him. I said, I don't know. I don't ever see her. I don't know. And he said, well, I heard that he was asking her for a divorce. And I said, man, that's sad. That old boy's going through a hard time. His wife's out running around going wild. That's a rough road to have to hoe, buddy. That's a rough road to have to go. And I'm telling you, you can get into some times like that when you think, Lord, where are you? God, am I ever going to make it through this? God, what am I going to do? It can happen, and it will happen. Something is going to happen to you. Now, what do you do? I'll just name these off because we're not going to take long tonight. I'll just name them all. You know what the first thing you do when you have trouble? You trust God. Now, that sounds simple, but I mean that. You trust God. You trust Him. You know what Paul told him? He said, there shall be no loss of any man's life. Me and Kathy used to talk all the time and everything, and she told me one time, me and her was talking, I said, Kathy, Lord have mercy. It's the awfulest mess I've ever been in my life and everything. And you know what Kathy said? She said, Brother Danny, she said, you know that God knew this, all you was going to go through all this before you was even born. And I said, yeah, He sure did. And he said, and you know what? He saved you anyway. And He's called you anyway. And He blessed, from the minute you opened your eyes in this world, God already knew what you was going to face in His sovereignty. He already knew it was there. It didn't take Him by surprise. Nothing's ever took the Lord by surprise. The Lord has never said, oh, good night, didn't see that coming. He don't even think like that. He's timeless. He's in eternity. We're in time, He's in eternity. And so, when you're going through trouble, you just trust in the Lord. Listen, brother. David said in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He's my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? Difficulties strengthen your mind and faith, just like labor does your body. Look, a man goes and lifts weights. You know, it makes him stronger. Faith in God, when you're having trouble, makes your faith stronger. Sure does. It sure does. So I hope that you'll get it. I hope that you'll get this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Matter of fact, you can't be a great Christian and really used by God till you've been through some trouble and learn how to trust God. It's easy for people to say, yeah, do this, do that. I used to know young preachers. They'd get called preach, been saved about a year, and they had all the answers. Boy, they was judging people in the church. They'd judge somebody and say, boy, they ain't doing too good or this, that. And then but when they had trouble, they didn't do as good as the people that they were judging. I'll never forget, before I started pastoring a church, I judged the pastor over some decisions he'd made. One, he made a decision with the young people, and I said, what's wrong with him? Does he not know what I can't believe my pastor is. And I was hard on him. I gossiped and everything. And when I got pastoring a church, I came to that same crossroad and did the very same thing that guy did. And you know why? Because it looks a whole lot different from up here. Things look a lot different from up here than they do sitting down there. And I thought, I remember judging that pastor. It was a decision. It was something they done with the young people. Something like that. It wasn't nothing against Scripture or nothing. It was just personal choice he made, and I thought he was wrong. And when I come to that crossroad, done the very same thing he did. And I thought, now I know, Lord, I'm sorry for running my mouth. And you know what? You'll learn as life goes on. One thing you'll learn as life goes on is don't judge somebody till you walked in their shoes. It's so easy to point a finger at somebody who's down. When you come to that same place in life, you're liable to do the same thing they did. So learn to trust in God. And if anybody got a question? Number two, pray. Ask God to help you. You know what he said? He said, I believe God that it'll be told to me. He said, he knew only God could help him. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never be a great Christian until you come to some point in your life where only God can help you. Sometimes we get in trouble and we think, well, my daddy, he can get me out of this. Or mama, she can get me out of this. Or my husband, he can get... But there'll come something in your life, if God's ever going to really bless you and use you, that you ain't going to get out of unless God does it. I see a lot of you nodding your head. There's some things that you get into, if he don't do it, you're done. I mean, you're a goner. And buddy, that'll help you to trust him. That'll help you think, Lord, Money can't do it. Politicking can't do it. Talking can't do it. If you don't do it, I'm done. And that time will come to everybody in here. Sooner or later, there'll be a situation. I don't care how much money you've got, how nice clothes, car, whatever. There'll come a time in your life where if God don't help you, then you ain't going to get no help. Money can't buy it. People can't do it. Only God can do it. And that's where Paul was at. He said, You've heard me tell that story over and over and over, and I love it. No matter how many times I heard that story, I still love it. Said years ago when they crossed the Mississippi River, they'd have an old guy down there, old man running the ferry across the river, and these big shot guys would come down there, and they'd pay to get on the ferry boat, and they'd cross over there to the other side, and this old slave guy was taking this guy across the river one time, real nice, well educated, nice dressed gentleman, and he started trying to strike up a conversation. And the gentleman asked the guy driving the boat, he said, have you ever studied literature? He said, no, sir, boss. He never studied no literature. Don't know nothing about it. And they just kept going. And the old man said, well, I can't really carry on the conversation with you. Have you ever studied history? Do you know much about world history? He said, no, sir, boss. I don't know nothing about no history. I ain't never studied no history. He said, man, you've missed half your life. And he went on a little bit. He said, have you ever studied math and algebra? And the guy, he said, no, sir, boss. I never studied no math and algebra. I don't know nothing about that. He said, man, you've missed half of your life. And he went on a little bit farther, and he said, have you ever studied philosophy and the Greek philosophers and everything? He said, no, Lord, no, sir, boss. I don't know nothing about no philosophy. He said, you've missed half your life. He said, I don't even have nothing to talk to you about. He said, they went on a little bit farther. He said, boss, can you swim? He said, no, I never learned. He said, well, you done missed all your life because this boat sprung a leak and we're going to the bottom. Amen. All that learning didn't do that guy no good. All his theories and education didn't. He said, you missed all your life. And I'm going to tell you something, people. I know people, they've got IRAs, they've got retirement, nothing wrong with that. They've got money up for a rainy day. They've got everything figured out. They've got an RV. They're going to retire. Listen, there's something coming in your life where if God don't get you out of it, you ain't getting out. And that's when you'll learn how to trust Him. Man said one night, when all I had was God, I figured out that's all I really needed anyway. Isn't that a blessing? That puts us all on level ground. Ain't nobody up here and others down here. When you come to the point where you ain't got nothing but God, you realize, hey, that's all you needed anyway. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, let me move this along here right quick. If you got something you want to say, you are more than welcome. They say it requires more courage to suffer than it does to die. And that's true. Dying won't be so bad. It don't even hurt to die, I don't reckon. I hope it don't. But suffering, man. Suffering. Like somebody said one time, said, what if you go out here and have a car wreck? And I thought, if you just get killed instantly or anything, that wouldn't, you just go to heaven, that'd be it. But what I don't like to think about is sitting in a wheelchair for 30 years. That'd be rough. And we shy away from that. And you need to learn how to trust in God's presence. They said, trouble, if you have enough trouble, it'll make you lose your religion, or it'll make you use your religion. Some people lose their religion. Some people use their religion. Can anybody give us an illustration or story? We only have like 5 more minutes. The kids will be tearing the walls down back there. Of somebody, your mama, your grandma. I hear Major Jackson preach on radio, and he's talking about his old mama. They wouldn't have no money to pay the bills and no groceries in the house. He said they got to looking around. They couldn't find mama, and she was up on the mountain praying. And said in about 2 hours, they could hear us coming down through the woods going, "Woo!" And he said, I just heard from heaven, and everything's all right. That kind of Christianity, we don't have that much anymore. You don't see much anymore people getting their prayers answered. And listen, people, if the Lord can do that for Paul, He can do that for me and you. The Lord can move in your situation. The Lord can help you. Don't be discouraged. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you let it get you down. Don't you give up. The Lord can help Paul, and He can help Mae Jackson's mama. He can help me and you. I put a tape on the radio. I've been making radio tapes the other day, and I put a tape where I was talking about a prayer I got answered one time. And I thought, man, that prayer really was answered. And I thought, what's wrong with you, Danny? God still can answer prayers today just like He could back then 20 years ago. Anybody want to say something right quick? I'm going to say a couple more things, then we'll be done. Bless your heart, sister. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. You know, I feel the same way sometimes. You're ashamed of yourself because I thought, man, I can't believe I doubted the Lord like that. God forgive me. I'll be ashamed of myself. Anybody else? Right quick. Right quick. All right. A couple more things right here. Here's something else you do when trouble comes your way. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Don't you forget that. Don't you get your eyes on what all the bad stuff the devil's doing. You put your eyes on what good stuff the Lord's doing. I know preachers right now, every time I talk to them, they're so negative. They're so negative. If they were here tonight, they'd say, so-and-so ain't here. So-and-so ain't here. So-and-so ain't here. You know what we got to say? So-and-so is here. So-and-so is here. So-and-so is here. Amen? You can't let yourself focus on what the devil's doing. You've got to look at what the Lord's doing. People, you can ask two people how the church is doing and get two completely different answers because they judge it by themselves. I talked to a guy one time. There's a church in Florida, not around here. Man, I heard that church is going down. I heard that. There ain't nobody going there, you know, and everything. I talked to somebody else. He said, man, it's packed full and they're shouting, running aisles, tearing walls down. There's a church in Lenore. Great church years ago. I don't know how much about it now. But I heard from two or three preachers. Preacher said, boy, that church has just gone down. It's just gone down. I'm telling you, it ain't no powerhouse no more. It's just, and I thought, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. And not long after that, I talked to the pastor and I said, how's it going, brother? He said, we started this and he started that. And he said, the Lord's been blessing. He said, in the last 3 months, we've knocked on 9,000 doors. He said, we got people going everywhere. I thought, are we talking about the same church? And that's the way it is. Some people look at the bad stuff the devil's doing instead of look at the good stuff God's doing. And you've got to do that. You've got to train yourself. That's what happens in your marriage. That's what happens in this old house, you know. Look at that. Boy, I tell you. You can see all the faults in your house. Like my house, if you come to my house, you might think, boy, this place looks nice. But I know where there's a flaw, and I know where something's broke, and I know where a thing broke off the kitchen cap, you know, where I run through there and got something hung on and jerked it off, and I know all kind of bad stuff about my house. I know where a dog got in my house one time and messed up my vent working, and it blows out cold air in the house, no matter if it's heat or air conditioning. I paid a guy to get up under there. Nobody wants to get up under there because of snakes and spiders. And I know all the bad stuff about my house, but I ought to think, thank God, the roof's over my head, I'm dry. It's not perfect, but it's a blessing to have a home to live in. And that's what you've got to do about your church. That's what you've got to do about your marriage. You can't look at your husband and say, poof, I never knew this. Boy, you're getting worse all the time. You know, you can't look at it like that. You got to look at their good points. If you got a husband sitting beside you tonight and will go to the house of God, that would make a lot of women shout. I know a lot of them shout. He'd walk in the door. Same way about your wife. She may not be perfect. She might not be able to boil water without burning it. But brother, if she'll serve God and pray with you and be faithful to you, You ought to shout every day of your life. Every day of your life. So Paul was saying, count your blessings. Somebody said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Another fellow said, count your obligations. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord wants done. That'll preach too. But you, when you're going through trouble, count your blessings. And then another thing they did, and I'm done, is they got rid of excess baggage. They got rid of excess baggage. Said they lightened the ship. When you're having trouble, it's a good time just to sort of get rid of some things you don't really need anyway. You thought you did, but you didn't. The truth is, us spoiled Americans don't need half of what we think we can't do without. That's the truth. And I mean, we're all like that. We're spoiled in America. But when trouble comes, you start seeing what's really important and what you really don't need. All right, anybody write quick? Anybody write quick? You write these things down and you remember them when trouble comes, and you go back to Acts 27 and God will help you to get through your trouble and storms of life. I've used that many, many times, and it's helped me. All right? We're going to stop. Before I pray tonight, there's two or three things I want to mention. We need a trailer for the youth rally, y'all. If anybody knows somebody, or we can get access to one of them trailers where you open it up and serve food out of it, got lights, like a Pepsi trailer or something. We had one time. I don't know who has them, Rescue Squad, whoever, Coca-Cola, somebody. If you can get access to one of them and get it for us, that would greatly be appreciated. We also need a place for some small groups to stay. Maybe if you've got an extra bedroom or something like that. I've had two or three preachers tell me money is the biggest issue. They just can't afford to come. One from way down there in Fort Myers, Florida, he told me the other day, they come every year. He said, Brother Danny, we can't afford it. He said, I'm sorry, we don't have the money. Travis and them, last time they came up here, their fuel bill was $1,100. And the church paid it, just diesel fuel, not counting their meals, motel, stuff like that. So if you can help with a place for somebody to stay, a bunch of people. It don't help just for one because they don't have a car, or unless you're going to bring them back and forth to church. But let me know and stuff like that. So, because we do have people that would like to come and just absolutely can't afford a motel. Fuel's so high, motels are $70 a night now, double what they used to be, and so it's very hard on people. All right, let's stand. We're going visiting Saturday morning at 9:30. Lord willing, come on out and go. And then Sunday morning, we'll start out at 7 o'clock, bright and early. Come to sunrise service. You'll be blessed. And then back for Sunday school at 10. Bring the whole family. Amen. Anybody got anything you want to say before we go? All right. God bless you for coming out on Wednesday night. I think you profited by being here. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer and go. Let's everybody just... Brother John Hyman, why don't you dismiss us, Brother John? Everybody pray before you go.